Lord, give us eyes to see your truth, hearts to love you, and wills to obey you. Because we ask through and in your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you think are the signs that all is going well for someone? A smile? Nice home? Nice car? Nice friends and family? Zacchaeus would have had all of those things. But something tells me he was still not content. Something tells me he was still not quite satisfied. St. Luke records that Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, but the chief tax collector. From that, we can assume that he wanted for nothing. The gospel reading said he was rich. We can assume that he was more than rich. Working for the Romans, tax collectors were despised by the Jews and were notorious for extorting more money than ever was due to them. Presumably, being the chief tax collector meant Zacchaeus had received even more of that dirty money. But despite all of that, something in here was still missing. In terms of how he would have been seen by the community, Zacchaeus was a big figure. But did you notice in the way that the gospel writer describes him when standing there in a crowd amongst countless other people looking for Jesus? Zacchaeus was a nobody. Zacchaeus was small even compared to others. He was at a loss, a pathetic little figure, someone who couldn't even get the kind of view on Jesus that others could. In that crowd, of course, the shadowy figure would have been lost to most people. With their sights set on Jesus, most people would never even have noticed. That's how important, really, that Zacchaeus was. Someone so important having to resort to climbing a tree to catch sight of the man that everyone else was talking about when he came to town. Surely there's something not quite right about that. Can you imagine the Prime Minister or Chancellor of the Exchequer, the First Minister or Deputy First Minister, having to climb a tree to see who was coming through our village? It's almost unthinkable. And what, I wonder, was going through Zacchaeus' mind as Jesus got closer and closer? It's an extraordinary image, isn't it? It begins with Jesus far in the distance. And you imagine that Zacchaeus would have thought, well, how good a view is this? And then slowly the figure of the Lord comes into focus and gets closer and closer. And suddenly he stops. And the unthinkable happens. The person who no one had seen climbing that tree, that dissatisfied, tiny wee man, has the attention of the one who was God's own son. How would that have felt to that little man? If you were in church last week in Ernie, perhaps you remember our reading from John's Gospel. Remember the story of the woman who went to draw water at the well, Jacob's well in Samaria. She went back to her village saying to everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." To use the language of the prayer book, here is the one from whom no secrets are hidden. How did Zacchaeus feel looking straight into his eyes? My guess is on that day he felt even smaller than ever. And whilst, of course, Zacchaeus shows a bit of interest, a bit of intrigue into Jesus, it's important to spot who it is that actually does the reaching out. It's important to notice what it is that drew Zacchaeus out of that tree. For the first move was not his. The first move was the call of Jesus. The call of Jesus specifically by name. And so here is the one from whom no secrets are hid, looking into the eyes of a notorious cheat, a greedy and selfish man. "Hurry down, Zacchaeus," said Jesus, "for I must stay at your house tonight." Extraordinary. And at that point, I wonder exactly what was going through Zacchaeus' mind. Jesus makes the first move and is very, very direct. Of course, I suppose Zacchaeus could have said no. But could he? Probably he would be thoroughly lost for words, awkwardly climbing down that tree, more self-conscious than ever he might have been before. I don't know if you spotted it, but I suspect between these verses there's a whole conversation that we don't quite see. For we see him climb down, but really then the story jumps to Zacchaeus' home. But the next thing we do see is an extraordinary change. Not small or insignificant, not just a change of mind or a change of heart, not something that could have gone unnoticed. But what we see is monumental when Jesus really comes into your heart. The difference, the change, is absolutely massive. And so, extraordinary words from the chief tax collector. Look, half of my possessions, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Extraordinary words. What a turnaround. And suddenly, that little insignificance, that selfish little man, has found something to live for, something to believe in, something to look forward to. So how might we apply this extraordinary short story to ourselves? I want to leave with you three simple words. I hope they're easy to hold here. I hope in some way they will unsettle you and live on and niggle away as this week continues. They all begin with the letter R. They are receive, recognize, and reform. Before ever Zacchaeus changed, he had to receive the Lord Jesus. God's word says that he was happy to take Jesus home. If we really want Jesus to be part of our lives, it's no good just having a passing interest. But we need to actually receive him into our hearts. When Zacchaeus climbed that tree, he had an interest. He was filled with intrigue. But he needed to actually accept Jesus into his home and into his heart. That's the first one. We need personally into our own hearts to receive Jesus. Then recognize. Before ever Zacchaeus could become a changed person, he had to recognize what was wrong within him. The presence of Jesus was like a light turning on. It was like something that illuminated what had gone wrong in his life. The things he'd done that he shouldn't have done, the money he'd taken that was never due. The road towards salvation inevitably involves recognizing our own sinfulness. Receive Jesus in our hearts. Recognize our shortcomings. And last but not least, if the proof of the pudding is in the eating, there is reform. That short story ended with Jesus saying, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And why? Because in his heart, Zacchaeus had received God. He'd recognized his need. And in the face of that, he had about turned. He had utterly reformed. We talk in church often about the word repent, and many believe that it means to say sorry. But actually, it doesn't. It actually means to do so in such a way as to never ever go back again. To recognize that something is bad enough to never ever want to go back again. Receive, recognize, and reform. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of the small people. Thank you that though truly we are small and insignificant, thank you that you still reach out, you still call out. Help us in our hearts to receive you. Help us to own up, to recognize our need. Help us, driven by your Spirit, guided by your words, to reform and become the people that you long for us to be. Because we ask it in the name and through the power of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.